Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Hey, we got a new studio.
Yeah, hey, Scott, check this out. Hey, Noel, you know about this because we're in here. We have a brand new studio.
Yes, yeah, so if we sound a little bit different, that's the reason. Hopefully everybody will kind of get adjusted to that, but hopefully it sounds better, right?
Yeah, we're moving on up to the east side.
Yeah, big studio. It's very nice. Very nice in here.
Yeah, I feel like we're hanging out with the swells. And what better way to celebrate our new studio than to record our very first episode in this studio?
Yeah, why not? So let's dig right into it. And let's talk about electronic updatable license plates today, Ben.
Yeah, okay. This sounds crazy. And this is something that you had brought up earlier off the air. And at first, I thought the technology was much further away than it actually is.
Yeah, we were kind of thinking when I first read the headline, I thought what this was going to be was a small screen, like an LCD screen,
yeah,
that was updated with information, you know, about the driver's current situation, whether it was, you know, the plates were expired, mm-hmm, the vehicle was stolen,
yeah,
because that's the images that you see associated with this on any of the sites. If you search updatable license plates, you'll find all that stuff. This is something different. This is a different type of technology, but it's not a brand new one, right?
Right. And before we dive too deep into the technology, let's talk a little bit about the company. There's a company in South Carolina, right? That's,
yeah,
where they're based.
Yes.
They're called Compliance Innovations, which granted is a little bit of a vague name. And Compliance Innovations is a relatively young company, Scott. They were founded in 2006. The founders are David W. Finley and Brian Bannister. Interestingly enough, Brian Bannister's also worked as a senior information resource consultant at South Carolina's Department of Transportation.
Oh, isn't that an interesting link here? Because now here's the general thrust of this.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, current license plates are static. They're printed on, or they're stamped into metal, of course, mm-hmm, and they're painted. Everybody knows this, right?
It's, yeah,
nothing new to anybody. And, you know, if they're updated, either you come in and get an all new plate, mm-hmm, or you go in and you get a sticker, a decal, something like that, to say that, you know, this plate is valid for this year. I've paid my taxes. I've paid my, you know, whatever fees the state requires. And this vehicle's legal. Well, this would kind of change all of that in that you wouldn't be required to go to the DMV to update your plates or get new plates. It's electronic paper, really.
Yeah, it's an e-ink. And I think it's perfect for you to say it that way. They've got a great website here where they talk about some of these problems, some of which you mentioned. We'll just add a few other ones on there. It's difficult to use some of the ID technology that's already six decades plus old, you know, and it's tough to find an uninsured motorist, you know, with a conventional plate, because it's true that the police can run a tag, but they have to, you know, run a specific tag. They're not getting alerts when they drive by or something.
Understood. Yeah, they have to see it, they have to search it, and they have to find out what's going on with it. You know, trail the vehicle maybe for a moment or something like that in order to figure out what's happening. This is not the case with these. Now, I think we kind of glossed over what this is because,
yeah,
I promise we're going to get into it. But
right,
these are more like along the lines of we talked early on about some stuff called fabric PCs. Cool. I don't know if we talked about it on the show or not. I can't,
uh-huh,
remember. I don't think so. It doesn't seem to fit anything that we do. But fabric PCs, electronic ink, e-ink,
yeah,
I think is what you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is the technology that goes into this, and it's not an LCD screen. They want to be very careful about saying that it's completely different from that. LCDs require power.
Yeah.
All the time.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said that. Let me lay on an interesting statistic here. These license plates, these e-tags, if you will, that Compliance Innovation is creating, can hold an image without power for up to 10 years.
That's not bad.
And that's crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
The future is now, apparently, for license plates.
No power.
No power. And the reason that this works is because these are what's called electrophoretic displays. So a little bit of etymology here. That's a portmanteau. It's two words put together, you know, electro and phoresis. those two words come from the Greek words for charge and the act of carrying. So just means carrying an electric charge.
Makes sense.
It only requires power to change the image. The image after it is charged is static. And it's a neat way that they work, because it's kind of a, let's think of a sandwich. I'm always down to think about sandwiches.
I was thinking about sandwiches before you said, let's think about sandwiches.
That's your secret, Scott. Mm-hmm. We're always thinking about sandwiches. There's going to be a layer of ink in the middle of the sandwich, and that's like the filling. Now, the stuff that would be the bread will be two layers of, it could be plastic, it could be glass, it even could be paper, going to our e-ink thing. This is really thin. It's, you know, half a millimeter on glass, maybe down to 0.1 on paper. So it's kind of around the thickness of a sheet of paper. It can be. Now, of course, Scott, this is the part where you stop me and say, hey, man, you can't just have ink running wild in between these two sandwich pieces.
That's right. In fact, there are these little capsules, right? And mm-hmm. this is where, our article on howstuffworks.com about e-ink or electronic ink, has all this detailed information. So we kind of looked up some information about this ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And roughly there's about, think about it, these capsules that are filled with different materials. There's like a blue dye or a black dye or whatever color you want the ink to be, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Then there's these white particles that are suspended within that capsule, that microcapsule. And these are really, really small. I mean, so small that in, like a square inch of printed material, there's probably 100,000 microcapsules mm-hmm. within that tiny, tiny area. And, the blue stuff is a blue dye. There are these charged particles. They're with like a negative charge inside these capsules. And I guess the best way to think about this is, and we describe it in the article, is that if you think about it like a beach ball that's filled with blue dye, and it's got ping pong balls that are white that are floating inside that beach ball.
That's a great way to say it.
Okay, so that's maybe the best way to think about it. And think about the ping pong balls being negatively charged.
Mm.
Okay, so then you sandwich it between two surfaces, and situation, I guess we're going to say it's plastic, right?
Okay, great.
Thin plastic. One side carries a positive charge, one side carries a negative charge. And depends on which way you charge those, you know, which capsules you power up, I guess,
mm-hmm.
because you can send power to each one of these things individually if you wanted to. That kind of sways the way that the ping pong balls would float in the material. They would either float to the top or they would be drawn to the bottom. And that's how you get the image, because you can change that entire field based on which ones you charge positively and which ones you charge negatively.
Great explanation, Scott. And that's with just one charge, theoretically, just one application of electricity, which is why then it holds that image, and it will continue to hold that image, again, as they say, for up to 10 years. We've listed some of the advantages of this. We've talked about the basic technology. Before we get to some of the nitty-gritty, you know, the big implications about this,
mm-hmm.
I would like to ask you for some advice.
What's that?
And now, I think that's such a good segue, because now we're going to get to one of the things I was most excited to talk about with this podcast in particular. The pros, the cons, the implications, mm-hmm. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Sure.
Of an electronic license
now
plate.
The pros, I guess we can talk about pros first, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just off the top of my head, I don't really have a list of pros and cons here.
I have
maybe a few. I think that the pros are that you don't have to go to the DMV to get your stickers, you know, your updated license plate, whatever, as often. Now, I know some people are doing it, you know, online, they're renewing whenever they can. And I think that'll still be the case. You'll still have to go in, you'll still have to take eye exams, things like that. You know, you'll still have to go to the office to do certain things.
Right. Like if you move into a new state or something, you're probably still going to have to make an appearance.
Yeah. But the idea is that you know, you fill out your paperwork at home, you do it online, whatever you do, you send in a check, you either mail them a payment, you know, over the computer somehow, and they receive the payment, they update your tag on your car, your license plate, automatically. It's done via wireless signal. So like let's say that you're in a good cell network, hopefully,
uh-huh.
and they're able to update it as soon as possible whenever your vehicle is in an operating cell, I guess. Now remember I said that because that's one of the negatives is that, you know, they're able to update it. Actually, that plays into a couple of
yeah,
but they're able to update your tag automatically whenever your payment is received. So you're good for another year.
And let's add another thing that actually does come from their website. I looked into it. It is factual. As we mentioned at the top here, uninsured motorists cause $150 billion worth of damage and pandemonium.
Okay. I've got, okay, there's a little,
it's tough to estimate that number.
Okay. That's tough to even talk about though, because I know are you really required to have automobile insurance in every state? I'm not entirely positive that
it's state by, you know what? That's a great point because it is the state by state, restrictions change. Like some states, you only have to have liability, right?
That's what I mean. The levels of it, you know,
yeah.
To be insured, I understand that. But one of the things that they're talking about here is that, you know, the vehicle can, the messages can be updated, via the DMV or via, the local authorities, the state authorities.
Mm-hmm. So you
maybe
can find
federal authorities.
Right. You can find uninsured motorists. There's also people have mentioned that it could be helpful for an Amber Alert. Now, I think most of our listeners in the U.S. are familiar with Amber Alerts. For everybody listening outside of the U.S., hey, thanks for tuning in. An Amber Alert is this thing that happens when a child is reported missing in the United States or abducted, and the authorities will put out this message describing the car, describing the child, and maybe the person he or she was seen with.
And the license plate.
And the license plate.
And the license plate info could be key because now this the idea that we're talking about here, and now, you know, the message is uninsured, amber alert, stolen, suspended license, things like that can be updated by the DMV onto the plate so that in big, bold red letters, it will say suspended license. It will say stolen vehicle. It will say amber alert vehicle. I mean, I don't know what the code would be for that, but you know, the uninsured thing, that's another thing. You know, it seems like there's a lot of room for what they could program into these things too.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm glad you said that. That's the segue. Scott, let's just jump into it. Let's just jump into the cons.
Okay, why not?
All right. So I'll start with something simple here. This is not a perfect system, but it does require other systems to function. So this, for it to be real-time updating, that means that it has to have some sort of onboard communication system, and or GPS.
Okay, understood. Now that, I mean, I guess that would be cost that would be absorbed by you, the buyer of the vehicle, when you first buy a brand new vehicle. Now, used cars, you know, that these have to be updated for. We've talked about this so many times. Other systems that they want to implement, you know, that, you know, the sign reading technology that we talked about, you know, that would keep a vehicle to posted speed limits or not above that limit. Stuff like that, you know, the cameras and things like that, that they want to retrofit to older vehicles.
Right.
I guess that would be a cost that would be passed on to the owner. I know somehow you're going to pay for it. I mean, of course you're going to pay for that added technology.
Whether through your taxes or just straight to your local car dealer.
Exactly. Yeah. If they mandate this and that's kind of one of the things that we're talking about is that, you know, you think that this is kind of far off, but they're talking about it in a couple of different states here in the United States already.
Mm-hmm. And, South Carolina is not the only one.
Yeah. California. And they're getting very, very close. I mean, they're like a signature away from having these. So
I could see Texas wanting this. Hmm. I could see why some states would want this as far as a new system, but, another con here that I'm just going to lay out: errors. What happens? You know, it's going to happen, man. You know, there's going to be somebody who erroneously gets tagged with a stolen vehicle or something. And like, you know, maybe they're looking, maybe the car that was stolen, the license plate is APS 348 or something. And then whomever's typing that in types in APS 349.
Yeah. And then also, what about duplicates? Now, I know that with the stamped system, there's less likely of a chance for that to happen because, you know, they're constantly changing the dyes and the stamps and everything that goes through. It's just a systematical one too. This is just a keystroke error, and that could happen easily. I mean, very easily. So I understand what you're saying about, you know, putting out an alert that this is a stolen vehicle And what if you're driving home from work one day and suddenly your vehicle plate starts flashing that it's a stolen vehicle or that you're uninsured or that it's, you're on a suspended license, something like that. That could be real trouble for somebody. I mean, try to explain your way out of that. I mean, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, just because there's this chain of events that happen that I'm sure that somewhere along the line, there's going to be a keystroke error that's going to cause some real trouble for somebody.
And that, you know, granted, that'll likely be the minority of cases. It'll be a once in a million thing.
Well, sure.
But the next thing we should follow up on for cons, you mentioned the cell coverage.
Yeah, definitely cell coverage. Now, the thing is, a lot of people have questioned this and said that, you know, well, first we can dispel that, you know, when the vehicle's parked, it's not going to display anything. It will display something because it requires no power.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's not going to draw from the battery. It's not going to drain your battery. If you store a vehicle in a shed somewhere, it's going to remain there for at least 10 years, you said, right?
Years, yeah.
Years and years and years. So it's one of those things that probably will never come up where it loses its image. Mm-hmm. Now the thing about the cell network though is if you're out of the cell network and then this needs to be updated or it is being updated because, you know, you've suddenly become uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
You've suddenly become, you've suddenly now have a suspended license.
Right. Or let's put a positive spin on it. Maybe you're on a road trip, right? Mm-hmm. And you realize that you didn't have your registration. All right. So you're at a hotel, you pay your registration fee online or something, you get in your car to drive the next day, but whoops, you're in Idaho and there isn't as much cell coverage. So your car still says that you're not registered and, you get pulled over 4 times on your road trip.
Yeah. So until you drive into that new cell, that powerful cell that, you know, allows you to this thing to update automatically, you're going to be in violation of the law, right?
Yeah. Comedy of errors.
Yeah. It could be. So the cell network does have something to do with it. I mean, the no display thing that doesn't come into it. No coverage that definitely comes into it. I mean, so
yeah,
that's kind of a big deal.
I've got another one. We talked earlier, Scott, about the likelihood of hacking cars.
Ah, this is the biggest one, I think, of all.
Yeah.
I think everybody has this concern, is that these things will be hacked. And I can tell you that they will be.
Well, sure, because all you need to do really is physically access the license plate, have a way to interface with the images it creates, and then provide a small electric charge. And what's interesting to me about this is that this brings up the question of control for the driver. Do you end up paying a monthly charge or fee to support your car's onboard communication with this license plate that you cannot alter in any way? I mean, I understand people can't make vanity plates whenever they feel like it. They can't say, oh, it's Thursday.
But you know what? That's a good point, though, is that, this is an angle that I hadn't really heard. Self-hackers, I guess. People that change their own plates just because they want to. And, of course, that would be highly illegal. You can't do that now, right? You can't print out a new license plate. Other than, let's say, if it's a state where they don't require front plates and you can put new front plates on every week if you want.
Yeah.
But the mandated plates, you have to leave those alone. You can't cover up decals that tell you, you know, state the dates when these things are valid. You can't change the letter number combination on them. You can't do all that stuff. But if you were to, let's say if you were just kind of a wise guy and you wanted to make your own vanity plate every day of the week, every month or whatever it happened to be, you know, a few times a year, whatever it is, that's illegal in this case. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do that yourself, but you definitely wouldn't want somebody else doing that to your plate. And I guess this would be the thing where, like, if somebody was taking a car, stealing a car, instead of swapping a plate physically, you know, they would have to figure out a way to hack these plates and update them, because you couldn't just take off with the car like that. You can't just, you know, put a piece of tape over it and make it look like it's in a nine instead of an eight or something. You can't do that with these. You would have to program it and be able to figure that out. So it's kind of a different level for car thieves, I guess.
And also, let's point out, crime, like love, finds a way.
Yeah.
So we've listed some pros and we've listed some cons. We've talked about the basics. You got another con?
Maybe. And okay. I just thought about this one. I don't know how much this comes into effect because of the, you know, because there's no real charge required. Because I think this is when I was thinking it was LCD screens. Mm-hmm. But weather or like trailer license plates,
oh,
things like that.
That's a good point, yeah.
Anything that's really exposed, anything that's really out there. Damage, as far as that goes, I don't know if they would be damaged any easier than a metal plate would. You can bang up a metal plate pretty well before you can't read it anymore. I don't know about these things. I don't know if you have a, you know, a tractor hitch that pushes into it or something, if you're still going to be able to read the e-ink display. I don't know if it's going to really distort it or not. And I was also thinking about boat trailers and things like that that are sometimes submerged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they back into the lake in order to pick up a boat.
Right.
I don't know if that comes into effect. I think this is a sealed system, but I guess you just never know how, unless you dunk your Amazon Kindle and find out what you find out what happens in that case.
Now, we have to assume that there's going to be pretty robust casing for these things. And I wanted to, without being a jerk, I have a couple of other cons here.
Mm-hmm.
Con number one, what happens, when a government shuts down again and the people who are supposed to update the license plates are on an enforced vacation?
Oh, that's a very good point, Ben. Very timely.
Yeah, right. Con number two, and this is one of your cons that you broke up, that you brought up off air. It was a con for convicts, right?
A con for convicts. Oh, that's right. Yeah. This is just kind of an off the cuff remark. I said, well, what would prisoners do? Right? I mean, that's the image that I have is that they're there stamping out license plates. I know that's probably not true, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, there's an industry that will kind of die, kind of go away there, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, all kidding aside, that's where they're going to happen. I mean, whoever makes the license plates now, whoever that is,
mm-hmm.
is going to be out of business.
Now, there is, with all these being said, I think that you and I are on the same page with some of this stuff, but I always like to end with, your opinion, my opinion. Once we got the facts out of the way, Scott Benjamin, what do you think about this? Good idea, bad idea?
Bad idea.
Okay, why?
I instantly say it's a bad idea. I just say that you're tampering with something that is such a, it's a simple system right now. It seems like it's not fail safe. There's things that go wrong with it already.
Okay.
But this seems to be a better solution, the one that we already have. I mean, I understand that you need to try things, you need to move on, but until I see this in action, I mean, South Carolina is one that's going to try it, apparently. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a pilot program that's scheduled to start in California soon. So, you know, again, I said it was like a signature away from approval. So I think that's going to happen. Again, just a pilot program. It's not going to be the full state or anything, but
yeah.
Until we see some results from this, until we see how it works, I think there's still a lot of doubt in my mind.
If I was to pick being for or against it, I would say that I am against it because, I'm against this because it seems, and I don't want to sound paranoid, but this will sound a little bit paranoid. It seems a bit like a foot in the door kind of thing because the other technology required to make this sort of stuff work, will instantly, or not instantly, but will over time make it much easier to have some, country or statewide monitoring of vehicles.
Ah, you know what? You're not so far off because the DMV will be able to figure out where your vehicle is. They'll be able to track it and monitor it if they want to. Now, to release that information in order to, you know, to give that information to anybody, I mean, law enforcement agencies, whatever, apparently, and they're saying that this report is saying that it would take 3 court orders in order to track a car or truck, you know, beyond just the DMV knowing where it is and not really doing anything about it, just saying, we know where it is so we can update the plate, but we're not going to tell you until you get this court order and then that court order.
Right.
Apparently it takes 3 of those in order for them to cough up that information.
For now, while the pilot program is being set up, it takes 3. Now,
good
point. I know that sounds paranoid, and there's also a good advantage there because if you can figure out where a vehicle is and it's stolen or somebody's been carjacked, you very well could save someone's life. So there are a lot of things that rankle me about this, but I'll be honest with you, Scott. I think these kind of license plates and these kind of technologies are inevitable at this point.
I think it's coming.
Yeah, I think it's coming.
Okay. Well, you know what? I agree with the idea that it's pretty cool to be able to track a used or a stolen vehicle, rather, anywhere. I mean, that's kind of like, it's not exactly like a LoJack system or anything like that, but similar. your OnStar or something like that, that's able to just pinpoint exactly where the car is.
Oh, I
is
bet
at all
OnStar
times.
Is not happy about this.
Well, maybe not. I mean, well, who knows? Who knows? Maybe it'll work hand in hand some way. So I don't know. We haven't really talked about that either. How this technology could work with other technologies in the car. I don't know. It seems like there's just a lot of questions at this point, but it's
right.
early on. I don't know. You're thinking that we're going to see it. I'm thinking that we're going to see it, but I think it's going to go away.
Okay. Well, we will see. Tell you what. Let's make the bet. The loser buys lunch.
Fair enough. A sandwich.
Of the winner's choice.
How about a good sandwich?
I think we're both pretty much on the sandwich train here. Would you like to do some listener mail?
I would.
All right. Scott. Brian G. writes to us and says, "Hey guys, I recently listened to your Ford GT40 and Mini podcast from a while back, and it reminded me that I heard a lot about a bit of a racing rivalry between Mini and a lot of the American muscle cars like the Mustang. Any chance there's enough for a podcast on some of these strange racing rivalries between a few very different kinds of cars?"
Brian, that's a good idea. Any kind of cars that had this this headbutting going on. We talked about GT40, I think, and Ferrari, of course.
Right.
Were the ones that were really battling. I'm trying to think of some of the others.
Lamborghini, Ferrari.
Sure, muscle cars, all muscle cars, any of those that were battling it out kind of on the streets, I guess, for who's the best, who's the fastest, best-selling,
who's the meanest.
Exactly, yeah. So that's not a bad idea. Some classic rivalries, maybe.
I agree. I think, Brian, I think that's a good idea, and we are going to look into it. Scott, as we head out, let's go ahead and leave now while our cars still can't be monitored across the globe. I sound crazy. I'm sorry.
You don't sound crazy.
Well, thanks, man. That's very nice to say. As we head out, we hope that you have enjoyed this episode about electronically updatable license plates. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You can find us at CarStuffHSW on Facebook and Twitter. You can check out some more information about this show on our website, our brand new website, carstuffshow.com. And if you say, "Hey, I don't know, I just want to send you guys an email to talk about cars," we love those emails too. Our address is
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.